Good to see you this evening. Glad to get to worship with you again tonight. You guys ready? Let's finish the Sermon on the Mount tonight. Matthew chapter 7. If you are following along with me, that would be page 787 in the Pew Bible. We'll be in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to the end of the chapter there, and thus ends the Sermon on the Mount. This is the very last piece of it. So if this morning was a bit of summary words, this is the absolute conclusion. Jesus says tonight, as we talk about the wise and foolish builder, all right, these are all the words I've said, this is all I'm saying in this sermon, so now are you going to follow these or aren't you? That's the wise and foolish builder. And you guys know the song, right? Is it sung the children's song? I have written in my notes for the evening, introduction, sing the song? Question mark? I think the answer is no, right? The mic will break on me, and if we try. But yeah, you know, the wise man built his house upon the rock, right? It's a good song. It doesn't really add anything to Scripture, so we're just going to read the text, and that ought to be sufficient for us for tonight. Let's take a look at it. Chapter 7, verse 24. Let's pray and let's read. Father God, it's a joy to get to worship you, and I pray that as we read your word, the reading of your word and the hearing of your word would be worship to you. Father God, put your Spirit on us to teach us something new about yourself, that we could obey you better. This I pray in your name. Amen. Chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against this house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. The rain came down, and the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, not as their teachers of the law. The word of the Lord. First thing that he says is this parable here, the Sermon on the Mount, teaches about the two different kinds of people. Both kind hear his word. There's the one who simply hears his word and puts it into practice, and there's the one who hears his word and does not put it into practice. But the first thing for us tonight is hear his word. We are, Scripture says, not to be hearers only, but also doers of the word. But it does begin with, it necessitates that we start off with hearing it. We must hear his word. We must be reading his word. We must come to know it dearly in our lives. As we talked about in prayer meeting this past week, in Romans, Paul says that faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing, he says in Romans chapter 10. He says, all have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God. Paul says, if anyone calls upon the name of the Lord, they'll be saved. But how will they call on his name if they haven't heard? He says, faith comes by hearing. So first, let us be the kind of people who hear his word. Not the kind of people who have heard it that one time, but the kind of people who are diligently devoted to Scripture. First of all, don't lack in attendance and coming to church together, because we always purpose ourselves when we come together to study His Word, to learn something new out of it. There's not a time when we get together where we do not read it. As I've told all of our Sunday school classes, and as we have new classes starting, I say to our new teachers, hey, listen, the minimum standards for if you did a good job with Sunday school are really, really simple. If you simply prayed for your class, and you opened up Scripture and read it to them, and you guys talked about it, you won. Like, that's it. You get a gold star sticker. All you needed to do is, did you pray for them? Did you open the Bible, read it to them, and talk about it together as a class? That's what you need to do, is simply opening it and talking about it and having that communion part where you pray with each other in Sunday school class. That's it. It's just a step of closer discipleship where you can discuss Scripture. We can't discuss it in this format, but you can there. So going and being a part of a Sunday school class where you're opening the Bible with people is very important. Don't neglect your attendance. Likewise, be the kind of family that opens Scripture together as a family in your home. Sometimes it's difficult when you don't have children. So for some reason or other, children, they really give you the darn it, we've got to do this. We've got to do it for the kids. We've got to get them together and read Scripture. And still, sometimes it's not good enough to have children because, you know, they distract as much as anything else. Let's get together as a family. Family, gather around the table and let's read Scripture together. But even if there are not children yet in your home, or if the children are now out of your home, don't neglect reading Scripture together with each other. Don't neglect reading Scripture by yourself. You may be a newer believer, or you maybe just don't read great, and that's okay too. But all of us need to be reading in some manner, in some form, out of the Bible. If you don't know where to start with the Psalms and start with Gospel of John. John's a real easy one to read, and then you're just reading about what Jesus says. If you're reading in Scripture, is no more than having a sheet of paper with you and writing down all the stuff you don't understand, that's okay. That's a great start. Beginning with, I have no idea what this is about, but specifically, this is what I don't understand it's about. Let your time reading Scripture bring up those questions in your life so that you can talk about them. See, a way that I teach about quiet time, about having gone home and read Scripture by yourself, is that your quiet time in the day, your Scripture reading time in a given day, is not really completed until you've told somebody about it. So whatever it is you read, if you get up early in the morning and read Scripture, excellent. Getting up in the morning, starting out the day on good footing is the best way to do it. Some people are going to be night people and you're going to read at night. That's okay. You get a pass. I say reading in the morning is the best way to get about doing it. Get up before everything else. Get some coffee on and go ahead and start reading the Bible. But whenever you read it in the day, I don't think you can count your time as having read Scripture complete until you told somebody about it. Until that day you sent a text message to a friend saying, hey, you know, I read this verse this morning, it made me think of you, I just wanted to encourage you with it. Until you talked about it in your home with the people you live with. Until you posted it out on Facebook. Until you talked to a coworker. You really haven't quite done the work of Scripture until you've shared it. So first of all, we must be hearers of the Word. But as we hear it, let's also discuss it, talk about it, do it with a Sunday school class. If you don't know what you read, ask some questions about it. Give me a call. If you're a member, you've got my cell phone number. Send me a text message or give me a call. I'll return it as quick as I can. And let's talk about Scripture and what it says. Bring it up in your Sunday school class. But let's always be the ones who are about hearing the Word first. Now, about the parable of the wise and foolish builder, we can't simply be hearers of the Word. Jesus says there are two kinds that are going to hear the Sermon on the Mount. Those who actually put His teaching into practice and those who do not. This is what it means, not simply to be a hearer, but to be a doer of the Word, about actually trusting in Him and believing that what Jesus has taught us is actually going to lead us to a good eternal life with Him. Obeying Christ does not always make our lives easier. Obeying Christ doesn't always make our lives easier. But I tell you, the burden of having a clean conscience, the burden of not having a clean conscience is heavy. It's huge to have known what is right and to say, we just can't afford to do it this month. I just don't have time to. To know what's the right thing to do and say, but I can't lose my job. Carrying that burden and that weight of having known what was right to do and not do it is so much worse, is so much heavier than any of the difficulties of following after Christ. Be the kind of people who practice these words, who put them into practice in your life. The weight is easier, I say, than not doing it. It's not always easy being a Christian and a believer and obeying Christ. And yet, it is easier than the alternative. Christ has said, come to me, you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. My burden's light and easy. How can he say that? Because he also says, take your cross upon you and follow after me. How can he say that I have the easy burden, that following after Jesus is the light load? He can say it because when you're following after Jesus, even the commandments that Christ has for us, that he's laid out and the things we're supposed to do, that's the light burden because the heavy burden is carrying the weight of our sins. And he's the one who's carried that. So if he's the one who's carrying the weight, the wrath that we deserve, then the obedience part's easy. It is the light part following after him. Let us put these things into practice. We say that there are two things we have to do, trust and obey, right? We say this again and again, periodically sing the song. It's an excellent one. We trust him and we obey him, but they're really the same thing. if you believe that Jesus Christ is risen and is the Lord, then we just obey him. There's no such thing as belief that doesn't end in obedience. And there's no obedience that came without belief. They work together. So it's no problem to say, believe in Jesus as your Lord, and you'll be saved. Because if you truly believe him, you will obey and follow after him. The question is, for whatever situation you're in life, do you believe him enough to obey in this area as well when something is difficult? There are all kinds of other things people put their trust in that are not Christ. What are they? Think about it for a second. What sort of things do people put their trust in that are not Christ? What sorts of things do they go after in order to have a happiness, an easy life? Yeah, their job. They find their self-esteem in that. Yeah, having stuff. Collecting stuff. Relationships. And how terrible is that on a relationship, to put that burden on the relationship that it's supposed to make you happy and be fulfilling for you? Wealth is a big one. When making money or obeying Christ come into conflict, what do you do? Another one, people put their hopes for immortality in as children, and it's kind of subtle. You know, the success of your children, it can become an idol in a household, and it happens in many households, where the desire for our children to be successful is really kind of about us. Our children are, in the very smallest way, a kind of a sign of our immortality, that something good about us, that our life goes on after we die. As you realize that I'm mortal, and if Christ doesn't return soon, then I'm going to pass away someday. I'll die too. But my children may live on beyond me. They may carry on my name past me. We put this weight on our children of them needing to be well. Their success becomes the idol for us. That somehow, in some way, we live on beyond our own lives in them. See, if people who live through their children, who worship their own children's success, who have the entire family and household geared around the success of their children. And it's a burden that ends up crushing children and families and households altogether. If your hope for living on beyond your own life is in your children's success, then your hope is misplaced. Sometimes it's okay to not do everything you can to have made your child successful in worldly standards of success. It's all right to say, hey, our relationship as mom and dad is more important than you getting the things you need right now. Our relationship is more important than, you know, making it to a game or something. Go to your children's games. It's very important. But if going to your children's game alone becomes the standard for good parenting, well, I'm a good parent because I made it to all the games. You've missed it. It's absolutely all right to lead and guide your children to success. That's good and that's right. We are all supposed to be leading and guiding our children to success, both raising them up as young men and women of God, and also teaching them how to function well and how to work hard in the world. This is good, but be careful that their success doesn't become the idol that you give up following Christ in order to make sure that they have their success. Specifically, when you come to that point where you say, yeah, I believe in Jesus and all, but when you get to that sentence, there's no good way to end that sentence. There's no, absolutely, I'm trusting Jesus, but also, there's just no good way to end that. Finally, Jesus doesn't just say, be a hearer of the word and be the kind who puts his words into practice, but it ends with this great little two verses about his authority. Verse 28, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. They're amazed because Jesus is teaching with authority. Their teachers of the law were the kind to, you know, kind of go on and on about this and that. They were the kind to, you know, say, well, the law of Moses, it could mean this or it could mean that, and we don't really know, but here's what we're going to do. I mean, have you heard scripture teaching like that? That takes scripture and says, yeah, you know, maybe Jonah and the whale, maybe it means this, and maybe it's actually a metaphor for this, and, you know, it could be either one. With no authority in there. I heard for the first time years ago a preacher that I was working for who did this well, who preached Scripture and actually called people to obey Christ, who preached with authority. See, Jesus preached straight out of the Old Testament, and He Himself being God provided us with the Word of God. So now that we have it, we likewise are to be the kind of people who teach and preach with authority. As you speak, as you lead your family, as you tell other people about Jesus, as you lead your Sunday school class or small group or home group, you, like Christ, are to teach as one with authority because we have Scripture. The difference isn't making up new stuff on behalf of God. We absolutely do not do that. To teach with authority means we actually call someone to obey Christ. We realize that Christ makes demands on our life, and we likewise say, hey, you need to obey this passage. That's what teaching with authority means. All the crowds are amazed because Jesus is actually commanding they do the good work of obeying Christ. And other people weren't doing that in the day. They were caught up in endless genealogies and counting things and trying to come up with something that sounded smart. Rather than simply saying, obey the Lord. John the Baptist was out in the wilderness saying, hey, repent. Obey God. And people were coming to Him by the thousands because they wanted to hear a word from God. Likewise, everybody wants to hear a word from God. We're made for it, whether they know it or not. So share one. It's always a good time to say, not a new command that you come up with, but to say, hey, Jesus says we need to obey Him in this way. So obey Him in this way. There are some who are called to be preachers, and there are some who are called to be teachers, and there are some who are given the gift by the Holy Spirit to be teachers, and that's many of you who have been called and given the gift of teaching. So teach. But whether you're gifted at teaching or not, it's always the right time to speak with authority, not simply to say, you know, really kind of hope you take this seriously. Hey, I really think you might should do this with me. This would be a good thing. But rather to say, hey, God loves you and cares about you. Come, obey Him, to make that call. And say, come and do this with me. Come, let's follow after Jesus together. Come and obey. Like Christ, we also speak with authority in that way. So this is the Sermon on the Mount. You've got it all. You can have the gold star sticker too today. You've finished it. But the question isn't whether or not you heard it alone. The question is, will you put these things into practice in your life as well? Let's pray. Father God, it is a delight to obey You. I just pray that You would help us to be the kind of people who practice Your Word. If we as a church, as Talitha, are known for anything, let us be known as the kind of people who obey Christ, the ones who put Your Word into practice wherever we hear it. This I pray in Your name. Amen.